Okay. Is there any further discussion on this motion? So we're ready to come to a vote? Okay, I'll ask the secretary to take a roll call. Thank you.
Okay, Augmire is not here. Bernstein?
Yes.
Bernstein is yes. Drake?
Yes.
Drake is yes. Fest?
I'll abstain.
Fest abstains. Futren?
Yes.
Futren is yes. Gans?
Yes.
Gans is yes. Goldmacher?
Yes.
Goldmacher is yes. Con Hallinan?
Yes.
Con Hallinan is yes. Matthew Hallinan?
Yes.
Matthew Hallinan is yes. Johnson?
Yes.
Johnson is yes. Coburn?
Abstain.
Coburn abstains. Kurzweil?
Yes.
Kurzweil passes.
No, I said yes.
I'm sorry? Yes? Okay.
He was mumbling.
Okay. Kurzweil is yes. Knorr is not here. I'm just stating that for the record so people are clear. Pritchett?
Yes.
Pritchett is yes. Privis?
Yes.
Privis is yes. Rosenberg?
Abstain.
Rosenberg abstains. Russell is not here. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer is yes. Siegel?
Yes.
Siegel is yes. Sterling is not here. Aki Tanaka?
Abstain.
Aki Tanaka abstains. Kate Tanaka?
Yes.
Kate Tanaka is yes. Turner is not here. Wilkinson?
Not
voting. Withers is not here. So that is 14 yes and 0 no. And 1, 2, 3, 4 abstentions. So it passes.
Thank you very much. The vote was 14 yes, no. No, let's see. How do you say that? 0 no. That's how you say it. And 4 abstentions. Let me ask. I see at this point... some people have come. Are any of you here to speak under public comments? Because we passed that point on the agenda a while ago, but nobody wants to talk. I'm not sure, but I... okay. All right. Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead, Virginia.
It said 11:30. I guess you changed the agenda because I was here a little before that. So I just saw that item on the agenda was listed as Rosenberg. So I hope it is. I was hoping that it was an item praising her for the huge amount of work she's done, enlightening people on this board and in the community. But then I look to see that you're going to waste time doing another recall again, or you're going to, of course, bully through it. So that's that for that.
Okay. I do, too. Okay. Thank you. Let's see. Where are we now? Second resolution. Okay. I'm sorry. Resolution number 2 on the PMB October in-person meeting, introduced by Sasha Futren and Mal Bernstein. Which one of you wants to talk about it?
Okay. So this is a motion.
Sasha, would you read the motion?
Yes.
Hold the mic a little further away.
Yeah, I'll break it down.
Read the motion, and then you can motivate it.
Okay. The motion reads, in light of the fact that Pacifica's finances are extremely tenuous at best, and the fact that an in-person meeting of the PNB costs upwards of $30,000, therefore, the KPFA-LSB urges the Pacifica PNB to forego the in-person meeting currently being planned for the end of October. I would gladly implement this. There are some things that I do know that I can't talk about, but there is one thing I can talk about. Again, at the election committee meeting this past Monday, the National Election Supervisor reported that, you know, we're using an election firm along with the national and local election supervisors. This year we're actually using a national firm that will be handling all the mailing and the counting, et cetera, of the ballots. And that contract was signed Weeks late, it was just signed because, along with signing the contract, a deposit had to be made. And not only wasn't there the money for the deposit, but Summer Reese, the interim executive director, removed from that contract the option of electronic balloting, which we were going to put into place so that we could try that out, see how it was popular, and begin to introduce it as a money-saving method of voting, because if we converted more or less, you know, if 50% of everybody converted over to that, would it mean less printing of booklets and ballots and less mailing costs and so forth? And it was not to remove having hard mail copies and ballots sent to people who wanted it, but the idea is that we would do some cost-saving measure, and so we were going to introduce that this year for the first time. It was going to cost a big $5,000 to do that, and that item was removed because that would affect enough the amount of the deposit so that Summer could sign the contract with this firm weeks late. It was signed after weeks after they were actually supposed to have started working for us. That's the state of Pacifica's finances, just to give you an idea. So spending $30,000 on another in-person meeting when we just had one not very long ago here in Berkeley seems to be an extraordinarily large expense. I have to tell you what I know of the finances of the network are that they are very, very tenuous at best. And there are, you know, we're on the edge. And every cent has to be saved, and an in-person meeting is absolutely unnecessary. They've been functioning with having lots of phone meetings, and I know that one can often get a lot more done when one is in person. There's something about the person, you know, I understand that, but we can't afford it right now. Have more phone meetings is what I have to say, if that's what it takes. We just can't afford the $30,000 right now. Thank you.
Okay, I see that Andrea Pritchett has a question, and then on the speaker's list it will be Dan and then Tracy. Go ahead, Andrea.
I was curious, Sasha, I wasn't quite clear. Was it your understanding that she was saying that the reason why she didn't want to move to an electronic voting system was because it would require a $5,000 payment to get that shift happening, and so that's why she refused?
The cost in our overall, you know, the price of our contract for the services this firm was doing was broken out into, you know, price tags were put on various aspects of the work. Doing the electronic voting, the price tag was $5,000. She removed that in order to save $5,000. That's my point.
And that item would have empowered all five stations to have partially electronic voting?
You know something? I don't actually remember the answer to that question. How's that? But the point I'm making here is that the $5,000 was considered too much money to offer an option, whether it be just a test on one station or all five, having the option of testing online balloting to see how popular it was and how it worked, so we might begin to move in that direction with the understanding that, you know, there are people, you know, the old you know, saw about people who don't have computer access, blah, 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 or who would prefer to have hard copy. But, you know, in the future, you know, moving into the future, the idea would be that if that became popular, and even if 25% of, you know, all our members opted to vote electronically, see their candidate statements electronically, et cetera, that would be quite a savings.
Okay. The speaker's list is Dan and then Tracy. Does anybody else want to be on the speaker's list at this time? Okay, Andrea. Okay, go ahead, Dan.
So I want to speak in support.
Use the microphone, please. Matthew, would you hand him the mic?
Matthew,
just one in your right hand. Thank you. We have the technology.
So I want to speak in favor of the motion, although I have to say from participating in many of these PNB meetings, I do think the in-person meetings are much more valuable than the telephone meetings. Sometimes people are less nasty and unpleasant when they have to look you in the eye than they're on the telephone, but I don't know if that's a Pacifica problem or a human nature problem. But, you know, the money is terrible, and, you know, a lot of it is still confidential, but Pacifica is unable at this point to pay bills for services that it needs in order to survive and protect itself. So the idea of spending 30 grand for a meeting is ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. You know, what Sasha was talking about, the board agreed on this electronic voting thing, and yet because we're so poor, the IED took it out of the budget, which, you know, is pretty bad. As a further reason, though, for not having this meeting is that we are not prepared to have the meeting. It's supposed to take place in the next couple of weeks. The board has not been able to confirm a date. We don't have a date. We don't have a place. We don't have a contract. Some of these things could undoubtedly be put into place, but to have a poorly prepared meeting seems even more of a waste of money than having a well-prepared meeting.
Thank you. Tracy, followed by Andrea.
Quickly, there's a lot to say here. The $5,000 on the electronic balloting is a decision that I'm sad about, because if a number of people had taken Pacifica up on it, the idea was that you would not pay the return postage for the ballots and save money that way. So it was meant to be a spend money to save money kind of scenario. It now means that there will be no reduction in postage costs for the election. So I don't know if we saved $5,000 or we wasted $5,000 more that we would have saved. More to the point, Terry Barishas, the collection supervisor, voluntarily took a cut to half salary. So that tells you how bad things are, because it was not clear that he could continue to be paid. That is true all through the network. KPFA's fund drive is slow and below projections. Washington came in 100K under goal at least. Here, we fortunately were able to settle the pending lawsuit at KPFA, but $95,000 of the $125,000 deductible has not been paid and has to be paid by KPFA. And when you look at the fund drive money that just came in and you look at the amount, $95,000, that's a scary ratio. Just to correct the motion, the in-persons don't cost upwards of $30,000. I don't know where that figure came from. They cost between 20 and 25, depending where they are. Houston is generally in the 18 to 20 range. It's the cheapest of the locations. I don't know. I suspect they may have already signed the contract based on the fact that the board did not cancel the meeting Thursday night, but I don't know for sure. But I know that they were going to move ahead, so this motion may be a little off point. The other thing to understand is that the Ring 2 conference calls cost a considerable amount of money when there's people on them. So when there are extra conference calls, as there have been over the past month, you probably, out of your $20,000 savings, are giving about $8,000 to $10,000 of that back in extra conference calls. So I really, you know, an extra Ring 2 fees, because every single person that's on the call costs a certain amount of money. So, I mean, I wish our financial problems could be saved by like a $10,000 active economy, and that would leave us financially in much better shape. And if it were a $10,000 to $15,000 problem, you know, the motion would make sense. Unfortunately, it's like a $1.5 million problem. So I think maybe we need to think a bit bigger when we're talking about Pacifica and KPFA's financial problems.
Andrew.
I believe that I support the motion generally. I'm disappointed. I'm interested, Sasha, to hear the conversation about the election and the possibility of electronic voting. And I think migrating to an online position, you know, I had hoped that might happen as one thing, that we might actually develop a plan for migrating a lot of the listenership onto the web and to be able to do premiums and to do a lot of that stuff over the web. And you know, at this point, I'll take a piecemeal approach, and I would add an amendment, and I would say that we should say that any savings derived from not having this meeting go towards implementing a pilot electronic voting plan. And I'm sorry that, you know, I'd also love to see it costed out of what the projected savings of that would be if they think they could get 25% of the membership to do it. It just feels like common sense. But anyway, I'll write up the amendment.
Okay. Well, when we get it up here, we'll consider it. Okay. All right. So next on the list, I have Laura.
I think the meeting dates could also be in November, so we should probably add end of November / October / November, or beginning of November, or something like that. November needs to be in there, just technical.
Sure.
Okay, anybody else on the motion? All right, we're waiting for Andrea's amendment.
It's breathing time again.
Yeah, it's breathing time again. Oh, the record. Let the record show that Sharama Agamir has joined us.
Okay. Yeah. So this is, let me read the main motion again as it was modified, and then I'll read the amendment. Okay?
Yeah. This goes right on the end of number four.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the main motion. In light of the fact that Pacifica's finances are extremely tenuous at best, and the fact that an in-person meeting of the PNB costs upwards of $30,000, therefore, the KPFA LSB urges the Pacifica PNB to forego the in-person meeting currently being planned for the end of October or early November. Is that right? Got it? Okay, and the amendment is, and use any savings up to $5,000 to create an online voting system.
It's fine, I think. Well, I don't know.
It's clear.
It's up to the board. Okay. So discussion about, we're going to vote on Andrea's amendment first. Is there any discussion? Donald. Pass that man a mic.
As someone who has spent a lot of time fighting for election transparency in our real elections, as opposed to the Pacifica elections, I think the notion of electronic voting is a disastrous idea. All of the computer scientists who have worked on the issue of electronic voting say there is no safe way to do that. And I think Pacifica would be setting absolutely the wrong idea when those of us in the election integrity movement are fighting for hand-counted paper ballots in this country, as they do in other countries.
Okay, I see Mal and Janet. Go ahead, Mal.
I like very much the idea of expanding the Pacifica voting base. Our elections currently encompass only a relatively small percentage of the listener subscribers, and I think this is an excellent way to try to expand that base.
Janet.
Yes, I too have been involved in the election integrity movement for many years, decades almost, and I agree with Donald that I don't think electronic voting should be implemented within Pacifica or any of the stations. I think that we serve as a model for the what we want to see in the larger community, and just like STV voting has served as a model for cities, Bay Area cities. So I do not want to be part of a model to implement electronic voting beyond Pacifica. So also not within Pacifica.
Thank you. Okay, anybody else? Okay, Andrea, this is your second time on this. Oh, no, I guess it doesn't count when you're motivated. This is the first time.
Well, I'm interested. I'm interested in, to learn more about this question of elections. And I would ask that, I think this has come up before, that we do some programming around it and we do some education within our community about it. I'm still looking at, you know, is it possible that some of us, that you could volunteer, that you could choose to, you say no. I'd like to choose to vote online. And I'd like to talk about what kind of security measures exist and what kind of accountability. He doesn't even want to talk about it. I'm interested in learning more about it, much as I trust you guys and you're shaking, nodding, no heads. But I'm also interested to see if we could maybe talk about the election process. Could we get people to migrate online so that we don't have to print up big, giant books that nobody reads? You know, is there ways of doing that? And I'd like to see the $5,000. If we got 25, how much would we save if we got 25% of our own people to get their election materials online? We'd save the $5,000 right there.
Okay. You know, I forgot to say at the beginning of the meeting that people should turn their cell phones to silence. I'm sorry. I was just complaining about cell phones. I apologize. At the next meeting, at the beginning of the meeting, I will say, please turn your cell phones to silent. Okay. Dan wanted to speak. Go ahead, Dan.
This is really a point of order. I mean, I appreciate the conversation about electronic voting, but let me say that that's a conversation that's taking place in the Elections Committee. We really don't need to have that conversation or make a decision about it to vote on the motion, which I take it as a motion to not have a PNB meeting.
It's well,
I okay. was kind of got the conversation and the topic of the motion is sort of, and I'm not blaming anyone, but it's kind of been hijacked by this conversation about the electronic voting, which
so,
I think we should defer.
So let me say, Andrea made an amendment, which she was perfectly within her rights to do, that the money, if there was money saved, that it should be spent on electronic voting. And I take Janet and Donald's comments as urging people to vote no on the amendment, or certainly stating that they were going to vote no on the amendment. So I think that's where we are. I will ask if anyone has any other comments on the amendment, and then we'll go to a vote. Janet.
Yeah, I'm trying to, I think that's where I'm going, that Andrea, well, I don't know how the process, do I say I'd like to propose an amended amendment? I don't know if that's a substitute amendment to Andrea's amendment, that the $5,000 go to, I don't know whether I would even want it to go towards a teaching or exploration of electronic voting or some other form of voting at Pacifica, but not the online voting itself, although I think maybe that could happen anyway, and the $5,000 could be used for something else. I hope that Andrea withdraws her amendment.
So here's what the chair would suggest, that Andrea withdraw her amendment, that we deal with the motion on the in-person meeting, and that Andrea then make a motion about the question of, you know, pursuing, looking into online voting. Just from a personal point of view, I think that the financial situation at Pacifica may be so dire that they'll have many other things that they will need to spend the $5,000 on rather than the question of electronic voting. But okay, so that's what I'm suggesting. Tracy.
This is just a point of information. I just found out I have to leave the meeting for about the next 20 to 25 minutes. So if you're going to talk about me, maybe you could postpone that item until I come back so I can say what I have to say about it and then, I guess, leave. But I won't be back until about 12:50, 12:55, just FYI.
Thank you. All right. We're going to deal with this motion now. So you're on. Okay. All right. Thank you, Andrea. Okay. So now we're ready to come to a vote on the main motion, unless there are any other amendments to the main motion. The amendment has been withdrawn. All right. So I'll ask the secretary to take...
Any objections?
All right. Are there any objections to the main motion? Does anyone plan to vote no on the main motion?
No, but I plan to abstain.
Okay. Does anybody else plan to abstain? Let's just do a hand vote. All those in favor of the main motion, please raise your hand. Okay, put your hands down. Those opposed, is there any? Oh, I'm sorry, he was going to count. Okay. I was just going to. Okay, put your hands up if you're in favor of the main motion calling on the PMB to cancel the next in-person board meeting.
13 yes.
Okay. Those opposed, raise your hands. Abstentions.
4, 5 abstentions.
Very good. Thank you all very much. Okay, so Tracy has asked that we set aside the resolution on the listener recall. So let's move on, and I assume that the body is amenable to that. Yes, what?
Why are we?
Because she has to leave. She needs to leave, and she wants to be here for the discussion. That seems like a reasonable request to me. So let's go on and just go. We'll go through our reports and come back to that when Tracy returns. Okay, so I have a written report from Andrew, who emailed me a report. Andrew says, I cannot attend the LSB today. I am struck down momentarily with some dreaded flu that seems to be going around. As a result, I have not completed a formal report, but I am sure there is concern about the state of the Fall Fund Drive. We all feel it. There has been an overall slump in fundraising across the network, and it comes at a difficult time. The goal for KPFA's Fall Fund Drive is $735,000. At the current rate of return, we may not crack $600,000, a 20% shortfall. It is yet to be determined. Fact is, this fundraising model is worn out, and we are now approaching a negative feedback loop and a process of attrition amongst paid staff, and all the pain that brings is imminent. We all know it. Meanwhile, the ongoing payroll issues are of leading concern. Are people familiar with the payroll issues there? Pacifica switched to a new payroll system, and as a result, for 2 or 3 pay periods in a row, the paychecks were completely screwed up. It's not clear what the source of the problem was, but it appears that there were problems with the input from the national office, from someone who was not properly trained in using the new payroll system. There may be other problems as well, but that's being worked on. Summer Reese is working very hard to get this sorted out and make sure that payroll is correct. But things happened, like some people didn't get paid at all. Some people got paychecks for $14 when they should have gotten, much more. Deductions were not done properly. Rates of pay were not calculated properly. And it was a huge problem. And Maria spent tens of hours making corrections, because of course people have to be paid. It's California state law, and they had to write hand produced checks for many, many people. Okay, that's the. Okay, meanwhile, the ongoing payroll issues are of leading concern, and we have broached them firsthand with the IED, Summer Reese. She has been responsive and hands-on, but it is evident there is a serious vacuum, unable to perform payroll functions at the PNO. The treasurer will explain, I'm sure, but I want to praise the hard work and long hours that our staff put in to untangle this extraordinarily messed up situation, which is still not unraveled. I am pleased to report that our association with Goal Busters has started, and we are now in the information gathering stage. We have a development team of four and will bring in other people as necessary. We are happy so far. I am sure there will be discussion of UPSO, and I am sorry I cannot be there for that. Anthony Fest did a prodigious amount of work to gather the names. I have no reason not to trust the final appraisal of names submitted. I know that UPSO has sent ballots for an election. KPFA played a key role in the recent convention coverage. We are the switchboard for the network. Unfortunately, debate coverage impacts fundraising and is another impediment to money raising. Another problem is the large number of announcements required by governance in the LSB elections. They will swamp the airwaves, and about 10% of members will vote. Meanwhile, KPFA speaker series announcements will be pushed off the air, and listeners will run to hide. But there seems nothing we can do about it. We suggested directing the listeners to a special website, but that was not approved. I will submit a more formal report in due course. Once again, my apologies. So that's Andrew's report. I guess we can't ask him any questions since he's not here. I don't know that we want to have any further discussion. I will say that when I was in the phone room at the end of the day yesterday, the end of the second week of the drive, the posted total was about 310,000. Laura checked this morning, and the posted total in the phone room this morning is approximately 320,000. So money is coming in, but it's coming in very slowly. And this drive is projected to run for another 2 weeks, which seems to me will be very hard on the listeners. We are already in the phone room getting complaints from people who want to know when it's going to be over. So anything else? Anybody else want to say? Go ahead, Sasha. Give Sasha a microphone.
Well, I just wanted to say that I was lucky enough to be able to sit in on a meeting with the local election supervisor and the IGM and Summer and the department heads about the cart rotation for the election carts, and that we were able in the election committee to get the number of carts per candidate down from it has to play 30 times during the course of the election season to 20. And the only reason I'm taking your time to talk about this at all is that, you know, one of the things that strikes me about our governance is that it very often has little to do with reality, because if you were in on that meeting, you would have heard department heads talk about the fact that how few slots they have every day for these things. And, you know, the need for the community calendar, which is a part of the apprenticeship program as well, with announcements to be read, promoting our own events and letting people know about those. The fact that we are in a, you know, national regional election season, and that preempts a lot of programming. The fact that the candidate program debates on air are required, which take up endless hours as well. And that the idea of running everybody's cart even 20 times was really opposed to them. And the reality of how do people make decisions? You know, do they make a decision to vote for you because they hear? And by the way, the carts are actually a 45-second statement by each person. Do we have the kind of listeners that, you know, are satisfied with a headline service? Because that's what 45 seconds is. It doesn't give you much depth. And yes, it may give you a hit on the candidate, but, you know, how people listen to the radio, it's not sitting there with a notepad at hand. They may be driving a car. You know, and there is a reality of the needs of a station that those in governments don't necessarily understand or know anything about, and we put things into play that make no sense in terms of how to run a radio station. And that's sort of my mantra at the moment, so I use this opportunity to make that point. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to allow about another 5 minutes of discussion on this, so keep your comments short, Donald, and then is there anyone else?
Yeah, this is really a question. It's not
Go
a comment.
Ahead.
who was responsible for hiring this new payroll company? Under whose responsibility was that? Anybody here know?
The CFO.
The CFO, the former CFO?
But she's
still on payroll.
She's on staff.
I see. So that's who is responsible for this good deed.
Thank you. Okay. So we're ready to move on. All right. We're ready to have the treasurer's report. Is the treasurer ready?
Yes. This can go down there, and there should be enough for people in the audience.
There will be enough for those who are back.
This, I'm passing out now an 11-month statement. This is through the end of August. As you know, September just finished, but of course, this 1 week is not time enough to produce a report, including this last month of the fiscal year that we just finished. So we'll be getting that one next time. There's plenty coming down that side also. And there should be enough for people in the audience, more than enough, actually. So by now, you guys are used to reading the fact that the front page and just a little bit of the second page is the summary of main categories in the accounting system. And pages beginning with just after the top of page 2, where it says, we have in the left-hand column, details, then we have, breakdown of the various types of expenses in each category. But the main figures we want to look at are over on the right. Column M is the 11-month statement. In other words, all the records for those months are completed. So at that point, the total revenue brought in was $3,414,408. And the budget for 11 months was a little less than that. So all together, all types of income, we have we've brought in $47,000 more than was projected. If you look at listener support, however, that's from the on-air fundraising, we've brought in a little less than was projected. There will be, September income will go into the next statement, and then that'll change the totals all the way through. If you jump down to the expense summary by each category, you'll see that we've spent less than we projected on total direct expenses. And total expenses, because then there's the shared services, we are also have a totals less than we projected. On the next page, we have our capital items added to the budget. That changes things significantly sometimes. So the surplus, let's see, we have in still column M and N, we're ahead a little tiny bit. The budget for, it's projected at the end of the year, which is column Q line 38, that we will have a small surplus of $26,862. Now, if anybody wants to see the details, they are on the following pages, and you could, I don't know, if there's anything you want to ask about, let's look at those items in particular. Anybody? Yes, Janet.
So I have, it's not on? Yes, it's on.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question about row 87, the local board and election expenses.
Mm-hmm.
So first, under board election expenses, row 89, in April it has 1,000, in August it has 2,475. What are those for?
I have notes about this. Let's see.
So,
just a minute. I'm looking for my notes.
89H or H89 and L89.
I guess I don't have notes about those. It's the recall election expenses.
Okay, so.
And I'm not sure about August. That might have included some advance payment toward the LSB elections.
So then that also leads me to my next question having to do with the recall, the cost of the recall, which was not budgeted, and how much total did the recall cost, and where, other than, I'm sure it's cost more than $3,475, where does it appear in this budget?
Well, I'm sure there are other expenses, and they are not included yet. As you know, the recall was stopped, and
but there were still costs.
They haven't been submitted. I believe there are bills that have not been submitted.
And what about the cost of the recall supervisor?
That's probably one of them that has not been submitted or dealt with.
And do you have any idea how much those come to?
No, but the business manager would. Well, I shouldn't say that. Whatever she's been told, she may have some information. But she is not required to come to all of our meetings, and we could certainly put out an email about what she does know at this point about the recall costs. Anybody else? No? I do. I just thought she was still looking. Okay, well, we do have a second document to distribute, shorter than the other one. And this is revisiting our summary of the, I guess you'd say, the progress of our budget for the next fiscal year. And last meeting we had a summary prepared by our business manager that showed, for instance, if you look at the very top line, two lines on this document, although the surplus or deficit would appear in a different spot in the layout here, our business manager put those figures at the top because that's kind of main information we're keeping track of. And then under that, there's the columns.
Excuse me, could you wait? Some of us don't have the second document.
There's only two pages, four-sided.
Some of us don't have it yet, so you're referring to it. So can you wait a second?
Okay, just as you look at the very top lines, two and three across, the business manager has listed the surplus figure, which is the big thing, you know, we need to know at the end of putting the budget together where we stand. And so when the budget was first presented to the LSB on August 4th, that's line four, it had, at that point, a $69,834 of surplus. There were, after that meeting, some adjustments made by the business manager before the budget was presented to the National Finance Committee on August 30th, and the surplus then was cut sort of in half, because there had been some questions about overestimating the grant income. You can see the minus figures that are in lines 24, 25, 26 in column D, and if you follow that column down to line 36, the personnel costs, the reduction there of $25,000 was because the business manager had discovered that the template, you all remember about the template, had in it a process that assumed that every person being paid was participating in the 403B pension, and that is not true. So it was more realistic for us to be using in the budget the figure, the actual costs. And so we have to participate in this use of the template, and it had made the 403B costs much higher than they needed to be. So immediately, our business manager took out $25,000. Later, in another column, it shows up, she actually had time to do further calculation, and it was reduced another $10,000. But anyway, let's go down. These are the this is a summary page. So if you want to see particulars about these reductions at each of the stages, they're on the pages following. But the thing that we've discovered recently was, and I'm sorry Laura's not here, she's one of the PNB members, when the KPFA budget was presented to the PNB, there were yet more changes that had not been consulted with the IGM or the business manager or KPFA or myself, and the surplus, which the business manager thought we had settled into after the presentation to the Finance Committee on September 5th, and now that's column I, there were changes made and all noted by emails or verified by emails after the Finance Committee meeting, so we had a list of what those reductions were to be. And they were incorporated and That left us with this surplus of $32,516. However, by the time the KPFA budget was presented to the PNB on September 27th, these figures had changed, and as I said, with no input from station staff or myself. And that brought the surplus down a little over $10,000 to $22,281. And I'm really puzzled by how that occurred. And I don't know, maybe somebody else has questions too.
Okay. So are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's have a discussion. Let me ask the body.
Use the mic, please.
Give me a mic. Here. Sorry. We have one more resolution, which was to be taken up earlier, which we put on hold because Tracy had to leave for a while. She's back now. Shall we deal with that, or shall we finish with the treasurer's report and then come back to the motion? All right. The one person who spoke up said we should finish the treasurer's report. Does everybody agree with that? Okay, good. All right. So now I see there are a number of people who wish to speak on the treasurer's report. Raise your hands, please, so I can know about you. Oh, well. Some people fell off. Okay, so Janet and then Dan.
All right, so I'm a little confused about this second report and how it relates to the first one. And so, for example,
the first one meaning the report I gave. That one is a report of our current fiscal year. This one is about our budget for next year.
Oh, okay. So the figures in the second one would not appear in the first one anywhere.
No.
Okay.
Okay, Dan, followed by Andrea.
You know, my what I have to say is not a question so much as a comment. I find it very frustrating that the National Finance Committee, which is chaired by Tracy, who is a member of this board, seems to think that the appropriate way to deal with KPFA is to impose arbitrary changes to a budget that we have adopted on the basis of our staff, which knows our finances better than people on the National Finance Committee from New York or Houston or wherever they're from. And it just seems to me that this is a very negative and improper way to do business. You know, if someone on the national staff or the National Finance Committee looks at our proposed budget and says, you know, there's a mistake here. You guys have not calculated something correctly. And I think you should change it. That would make sense to me. But when they say, well, you know, we're just going to cut 100 grand from listener support, or we're going to cut 100 grand from your proposal or your plans to raise donations from individual donors. I mean, you know, my question is, why the hell are you doing that? And what expertise or understanding or superior knowledge do you have that entitles you to do it? And I can answer my own question by saying it's none. You know, it's arbitrary. I think to a large extent it's political. We're not popular with certain people on the national board. So they kind of just take every opportunity to kind of screw us. And you know, without making it personal, Tracy, I think that as a member of this board, it should be your job to support KPFA's interests on the National Finance Committee and not set yourself up as kind of a super arbiter or vetoer of the actions taken by our staff and our board. And I think this needs to stop, and that's why I'm speaking.
Thank you. Andrea, followed by Tracy.
So I'm excited maybe about the possibility that, that development money is being spent. And so I was wondering, Barbara, it looks like, you know, in October last, $2,469 was spent on development. I guess you have to review for me what's included in that, because it jumps up to $23,000 November, and it's consistently
you're
significantly higher. So help me out if that is that in any way indicative of any positive proposals?
You're looking at the 11-month statement?
No, I'm looking at the original income statement. Row 24, I'm sorry. Thank you. I'm trying to figure out, like, you know, with all this, I mean, it is dire, and, you know, whether or not we dicker over kind of projections of what listener support might look like, whether it's going to be, you know, 500,000 or 600,000 or whatever, we need real money. And I guess what I'm interested in is alternatives to the fundraisers. I'm interested in hearing more about Goalbusters, if you know about it. And I'm also interested in, and I guess maybe for next meeting, I'll ask this body to vote in favor of that little development plan thing, this notion that we recommend that Pacifica start its own membership and giving people access to the radio archives in exchange for that. But I'd like to hear, what is the development plan, and why do these numbers look so big? Is that a hopeful sign, or is that more bad news?
I know that the negotiations or the meetings, I shouldn't use the word negotiations, with the Goalbusters people have started. I attended one meeting yesterday, a phone meeting, and the business manager, the IGM, the data manager, and the subscription manager had already met with them and done some preliminary work. The Goalbusters people have asked for our financial statements for the last 3 years, so those were just transmitted. There is a high donor event planned already for, I forget which day, later this month, and they are working on inviting certain high donors to this. And they are still evaluating how else to proceed, but at least they've begun with that.
Are we paying money to Goalbusters, and if so, where is that represented in the budget?
If you look, Andrea, if you look at page 6, line 153, under development expenses, I don't want to tell Barbara how to do her job, but the monthly expenses are broken down, and you can see what's the $23,933 at the bottom in bold. That's what shows up on the front page, and the explanation for it is there. What all that stuff went into it.
When last we left, though, I thought that there was a question as to whether or not Pacifica was going to hire Goalbusters or whether KPFA. Did KPFA...
Both things are happening. We've started, and they, as I understand it, the PNB is not as far along with them as we are. And I'm also thinking that the payment for Goalbusters is actually in the administrative expenses. In this particular statement,
where about?
I believe it's line 103. And
but there's no money.
No money there except from last November. No, that is not. Maybe there hasn't been a bill paid yet.
No, you must have retained them.
As I remember, it was about $40,000. Something in the budget for that. Okay, we'll figure out where their expenses are lodged and let you know.
Yeah, if there's any way that we can get more information about the development plan and how to support it, what we can do as a board to get behind it, or or be part of it. Mm-hmm. I would be very, very interested.
Well, I know that that's the intention of the IGM and the business manager and the other two managers. That's part of the thing that was discussed in the meeting yesterday was, all right, now where to broaden the team that we're going to involve in this effort. Well, so far, it's the IGM, the business manager, the subscriptions manager, which the membership. No, that's Phil Osageda, and the data manager, who is actually Chris Stelic, and he's the person that has had the most preliminary conversations over a couple of years, meeting these people at conferences.